Now let's come to the outline. Let's come to it. To see this wonderful inheritance that we have. Actually, the whole Bible is full of the word inheritance. And, this is what God has promised to Abraham. It's not just a matter of being saved and coming out of Egypt as an Exodus. Suppose the people of Israel really came out and God led them out of Egypt. They experienced the wonderful Passover lamb. And they even ate the unleavened bread. And God really judged Egypt. He killed all the firstborn of Egypt. And they came out of the good land, crossed the Red Sea. It's really wonderful, right? And they stayed in the wilderness. How do you like that? Do you think that's adequate? It's good enough just to be safe from Egypt and not to be judged by God? Is it good enough just to cross the Red Sea, which we saw what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Crossing the Red Sea signifies our being baptized into Christ. Right. But then, what is the goal? Is it enough if they all came out of Egypt and settled down in the wilderness? Is this what God wants to do? No. What was God's plan and purpose? It's to fulfill what he promised Abraham. To give them a wonderful inheritance. Amen. This inheritance is called Canaan, the good land. So the whole purpose is to bring them out of Egypt, pass through the wilderness, and to enter into the good land. The good land is the goal. But unfortunately, history tells us, Numbers and Deuteronomy, what happened? Do they want to get in?
No.
Why not? Why not? You know, this is the problem with us, the people of God. We want to be saved. And after you're saved, what happened? What happened? What do you receive when you're saved? You're saved into what? Saved out of what? You know, right? Saved out of, firstly, God's eternal judgment, the eternal damnation. You will not go into perdition. Eternal perdition. You won't be thrown into the lake of fire. Free from God's judgment. Because Christ died for you. He bore your judgment for you. When Christ died on the cross, you're supposed to be the one who died. But behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He died for you. So, you're free from God's judgment. And you're saved. You're saved. Saved to do what? Is it really in your concept that you are saved to receive a wonderful inheritance? Are you a son of God? Tell me. You are. What is the most wonderful thing about being a son of God aside? Of course, you're born again, receiving the Holy Spirit, and into your spirit. Now you have the life of Christ in you. You are a son of God. Now what? This is what Paul said many times, both in Galatians and in Romans chapter 8. Because we are sons, therefore we are heirs of God. Co-heirs with Christ. That means you are to inherit something. What is that that you're inheriting? What did the Father give you?
If you ask many questions concerning this matter, I don't think many of you can give you a very adequate answer. We are to receive a wonderful inheritance. Before we go into some verses in the New Testament, let me tell you, especially if you read already from Genesis, with Abraham, God promised him, come out of Babylon, come out of Ur of Chaldea to a land that I'm going to give you as an inheritance. Right. And Abraham believed. What did he believe? What did Abraham believe? Hey, don't you believe that Abraham is our father of faith? Well, it's written, right? Paul wrote, our father of faith is Abraham. So what did he believe? He believed that he's going to be saved? Of course. But hey, God didn't tell you, if you stay there, you're lost. Come out and you'll be saved. Is that what the call of Abraham was?
Stephanus. Right? Stephen. In Acts chapter 7. Talk about the God of glory appearing to Abraham. What did God tell him? Come out. Come out of your father's house. Come out of your whole background. Your culture. Come out of Babylon. Ur of Chaldea. Where to? To a land that I will show you. Amen. Right. And that was a promised inheritance. Hebrews chapter 11 confirmed this. That he came out to receive that wonderful inheritance which God has promised to him and to his seed. So, after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God gained a wonderful people. And for 400 odd years, they were in Egypt and became slaves, mistreated, terrible. Right. So they cried out to God. You all know the story, and God saved them. Save them what? Just to be saved out of Egypt? I said a few times already. Suppose God saves them and they kill the lamb and they were saved from judgment. And they were saved because they put a blood on the doorpost. Right? And they remain in Egypt. Is it good? Then God would have done all those wonderful works for nothing. That is why Galatians chapter 1 verse 4 says, and Christ shed his precious blood to save us. What? Out of what? Out of this present evil age. And the church, the ecclesia, is the called out ones. You're called out of this world. That's why you should not love the world. You should not be a part of this system. Did not Paul said in Romans 12 verse 1, be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. Are you still conformed to this world? If we as Christians are still conformed to this world, then what's the point? Then what is the point? What are you saved from?
Are you only saved from eternal damnation and not from this world, and you still remain in Egypt? No. You have to come out of Egypt. And that's why it's called Exodus. We all know Genesis, right? At the beginning of everything. In the beginning God created heavens and the earth. What about Genesis? What about Exodus, I mean? What is the meaning of Exodus? Exit! You see the sign here? We should put...
Exodus.
Change it. Exodus. Okay. Next week, we change the light to Exodus. How about that? To remind you, get out of this world. Look at this terrible world today. Look what's happening. What the Supreme Court ruled. Hey, this is Supreme Court. What happened to our chief justices? Can't even make a distinction between male and female. Sad thing. You want to be conformed to that? They all claim to believe in the God, in the living Word. It's not that we're condemning in such a way, you know, but this is God's Word. What are we going to do? What can I say? So many things. Politics, unrighteousness, lies, murder, hatred, robbing. All kinds of evil things in this world. You want to be conformed to this world. Did not James says, friendship with the world is what? Enmity with God. Have you now read? So choose which friends you want to be and which enmity you want to have. You have to choose. Don't say, I'm neutral. The Swiss neutrality. Are you neutral? You cannot be. Now the Lord says, no one can serve two masters. Either you love the one and hate the other, or you hate this one and love the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. So which one are you serving? Which one do you love? 1 John 2 tells us, love not the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not him. Don't fool yourself and don't try to fool others. My heart loves the world, then the love of the Father is not in me. Even though I acted like I love God, oh Father, did not the Lord says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So, you have a choice. You want to stay in Egypt or you want to come out? Now, if you said, I'll come out, then where to? To heaven? I'm sorry, you're still right here in Fountain Valley. You said, I'm going to wait till I die to go to heaven, but what do you do in the next 30 years if the Lord didn't come back? You may say, poor us, after you got saved, you have to wait till you die to get your inheritance. I thought, to get your inheritance, you have to be living. And the one who gave you the inheritance is the one who should die. But for the Christians, the one who dies gets the inheritance. Oh, goodness, I don't want to die, do you? You want to die to get your inheritance? You want to live. Because if you don't live, you don't get your inheritance.
Now, if you read Numbers and Deuteronomy and Judges, these three books shows us that God's goal is to bring them into the inheritance. If you read Numbers, I believe it is about 34 times the word inheritance was mentioned. And in Deuteronomy, about 24 times. And in Joshua, about 39 times. Because they entered into the good land and divided an inheritance among God's people. Don't you appreciate that? You want to throw away Moses? Don't you think that inheritance is so important?
Amen.
No. Go home and count to see if I'm right. Okay, you can count. Can you count? Addition. Yeah, it's not hard to count, right?
Just doing research.
Yeah, you're a math major. You can go home and count. Father God. Let us read just one verse in the book of Acts.
Abba Father. Do we have it here in the book of Acts? Yeah. 26 verse 18, right? When God appeared and called Paul to do his work, and Paul never forgot, God told him, here in verse 17, and I will deliver you from the Jewish people, because the Jews wanted to kill him, as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now sent you, to do what? To open their eyes. You want to learn to preach the gospel? You have to learn how to open people's eyes. To preach the gospel is not just to tell them something about the Lord Jesus. It is to open people's eyes. Help them to see. Because only if people see the truth. And Paul says, and God who commanded the light to shine will shine into the heart. Then they will see. And if they see, then they have to make a decision. Right? If you have never seen... Well, I think you have seen almost everything. But if you have not seen the newest gadget like that,
oh, wow.
What is that?
Well, this apple guy will tell you, oh, this is an apple. I said, no, I eat apple every day. I've never seen such an apple. This means I can eat that? I cannot. Well, why do you call it apple? You better explain. Right, just tell them, no, this is a special kind of apple. Yeah, not from the trees, but from Cupertino. Made in China. Right. Well, and you explain to him, and pretty soon he says, where do you get that? And go to the Apple store. And after you open his eyes, next thing you know, he'll be going to... Apple store. next week you come, he'll be wearing one. But you have to be wearing one yourself. Otherwise you cannot convince him. Okay, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light. From the power of Satan to God. My, you know, for you it's just salvation, 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 but you don't explain it. Save from what? From hell, you says. But Paul didn't say hell here. He says from what? From darkness
Amen.
To light. Why can't people see?
Because there's no light.
You remember when Lord Jesus Christ came, he says, those who sat in the shadow of death and in great darkness, they saw a great light. You have to see the light. So, to preach the gospel is to turn people from darkness to light. If you don't know how to do that, you cannot preach the gospel well. Because it is to turn people from darkness to light. Right? And then, this is parallel to that. From the power of Satan. My, it is even more difficult to take people out of the power of Satan to God. You tell me, how do you do that? Just by being nice to the person? I have to be careful not to offend too. If I offend him, he won't believe in the Lord anymore. So I better add sugar to my gospel and make it honey sweet. And if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will get a good job. And you know the gospel of prosperity. My, you become a rich guy. And the Lord's going to bless you. You should receive the Lord Jesus and be happy. Is that a gospel you preach? No wonder the mega churches have so many people, because everybody loves to be rich. How do you get people out from the power of Satan? You tell me. If, especially you yourself, are under his power. Impossible. That's why so many people are so-called saved, but saved didn't know what to do and where to go and what is God's will and what is the eternal purpose of God, save for what? Out of the power or authority of Satan. It's not easy. Even God, when he tried to save the people out of Egypt, he needs to send Egypt how many plagues? 9 plus 1. In order to subdue Pharaoh, and Pharaoh is a figure of Satan who tried to keep God's people there in Egypt to become his slaves. You think it's so easy to snatch people out of the hands of Satan? You get them out of Egypt and transfers them to Babylon. How about that? Satan will say, I agree. Okay. Out of Egypt into Babylon, I agree, you do it. I'll transfer him to another prison house. Out of the authority of Satan, the power of Satan, to God. And Paul in Colossians says, to the kingdom of the Son of his love. Where are you today? Are you in the kingdom today? Are you really now living in the kingdom? And who rules in this kingdom? Satan rules in this world. Okay? I mean, it's written. John wrote, the whole world lies in the sway, in the hands, in the control of the evil one. Well, what about us today? Under whose control are we? The flesh? Are you in control? People try to be in control. Who controls the church? Okay, that is that category there, right? Then there's a goal here, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Is that wonderful? Good. Everybody likes that because they know they have a problem of sin. So we all preach the gospel of forgiveness. God will forgive you. Who doesn't want forgiveness? Forgiveness. But is that all? There's a word end. And what? An inheritance. Oh, now let's come to the point. Inheritance, what is it? That they may receive forgiveness of sins. When you preach the gospel, what do you preach? Forgiveness of sins? No end? And an inheritance.
Amen.
An inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Praise the Lord. We are here together enjoying the wonderful inheritance. Right? Because such a wonderful, vast Christ. It takes not just one person to enjoy. Suppose you go to the wedding feast and there's so much food there on the table and the only guest appeared is you. There are 20 chicken, 30 turkeys, legs of lambs. So amazing. And you're the only one there. How about that? No fun, right? No fun. And you can't enjoy everything. What are you going to do? Oh, wonderful. Oh, it's all mine here. I think the first thing you're going to ask is, what are the rest of the people? What happened? You know, this is exactly what the Lord says in the Gospel of Matthew. The father made a wedding feast for his son and invited all those, and those who were invited didn't want to come. They didn't want to come. So what should the father do? Cancel the wedding? What is he going to do? Go invite some more. Look for those who want to come. Instead of canceling it. Now, suppose the father wants to have a group of people to worship him and many don't want to do it. What should we do? Cancel the worship. Let's cancel the worship. So what are we going to do? Cancel it? No more offerings because the majority didn't want to do it. What are you going to do? Cancel it. Don't worship anymore. Because nobody wants to do it. They're even against it. So many excuses. Some says, I just bought a piece of land and I have to go take a look. There's so many excuses. Hey,
is your cow or your business or your new bride or whatever more important than God?
Oh Lord, you know, the whole people of Israel, the first generation coming out of Egypt, they didn't want to enter into the good land. They did not want to. Now let me tell you, what was the reason they didn't want to? Is it because they didn't believe that this is promised by God? Did they believe? Yes. And so, is just believing good enough? We can stay in the wilderness but believe we are in a good land. That's make-believe. That's not believe. That's make-believe. There's a difference, right? Do you believe or are you making believe? You make believe. Make believe is in your mind. You're daydreaming. Oh, I'm in a good land. And when you open your eyes, oh, I mean, still in the wilderness, I better close my eyes. You just believe without reality. That's make believe. There are many make-believe Christians. So, when they arrive at the border, they send 12 spies, right? To spy out the land. Okay? Oh, well, it's good to have spies. Scriptural. Yeah, praise the Lord for the spies. The spy out the good land. Right? And the spies returned. And wow, when they returned, they had a cluster of graves where two of them have to carry one cluster. Also heavy. Really good land. You know, when you buy the cluster of grapes, it's only about this. You can even hold the cluster like this. Right? But when they came and took great cluster of grapes, they have to carry it. What a good land. But you know, as rich as the good land was, and so big the cluster, the people giants.
It's not the giants.
Twice your size. What are you going to do? So what did they do? They all cried. They're weeping and murmuring, crying, we don't want to get in. They cried. They refused to get in. They forgot what God has done to the Egyptians. They forgot how God just wiped out the whole armies of Egypt with the Pharaoh in the Red Sea. They forgot so many things. What God could do is the Almighty God to defeat every enemy. They didn't want to get in. Anyway, the result was they all died in the wilderness in the 40 years. God let them go around in circles. You know how many of us in our Christian life are going around in circles? You think you're going somewhere when you're going around in circles. And after you make one whole circle, you go, hey, how come I landed right here where I was before? For 40 years. One whole generation died because the stiff-necked rebellious. Not willing to let go even the idols that they brought out with them from Egypt. Rebelling against Moses. Poor Moses. You know, If God called you to be Moses, you better tell God that, look what happened to Moses. Why do you want me to be Moses again? Do you want to be Moses? Now, the people of Israel was a stiff-necked people, right? Today, we are the real Israel. The Israel of God. We are the heavenly people now. In the new covenant, we are the real Jews. This is what Romans chapter 2 says. He is not a Jew who is one outwardly. But a Jew is, and circumcision is of the heart. In the spirit, whose praise is not of man, but of God. So are you a Jew? Really? What kind? A heavenly Jew. A spiritual Jew. And today the church life should be the nation. So, the first generation didn't want to enter into the good land. So what happened? God was happy? No. God swore, you will not enter into my rest. God was angry. Don't think God is a God of love, 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 and lovey-dovey, and you can do whatever you like. Remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is written, all of those things were written for whom? For them? Yeah. For us. That we should not be the same as they are. Meaning to say, we have a danger of being the same as they are because the flesh is the flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. So the inheritance is the goal. But, hey, what do the people of Israel have to do? Just to walk into the good land and, here I am. We're going to inherit this land. Would you please leave and let us inherit the good land? Yes, well, please. God already promised us. Would you please leave? You think that's a way to possess the land? How did they possess the land? They have to fight. Are we fighting today or not? Yes. But not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. These are the enemies that will try to stop you from getting your inheritance. You're going to let them stop you. No. Huh. Well, you need to learn. Right? So, God is not just going to give you an inheritance without dealing with the power of darkness. You're still under His control. How can you gain the inheritance? I'm not fighting against flesh and blood. I don't care for flesh and blood. No. I'm not against any flesh and blood. But I'm fighting against something else. Make no mistake. Against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. Against Satan, who is trying to stop God's people from gaining the inheritance to fulfill God's purpose, because their inheritance is not just for them, but for God to gain a nation and a kingdom. It's the kingdom of God. And we are His people. What is a people without a land? Without a king? It would be just like the Jews without Palestine for over 1900 years.
So, when in a vision, don't just listen to a message. You need to bring it home, pray about it, and ask the Father whether this is really His word or not. You read the Bible again. Read the Word of God. So before we even get into the good land, you need to see that there is an enemy. Not just one, but there's a host. The principalities and powers, the fallen angels, the demons, and the head is Satan there trying to stop us. That's why Christians have so much trouble in the last 2,000 years. And nation of Israel, before Christ came, they also have a lot of troubles. Even until this very day, they have a lot of enemies trying to destroy them. You think you don't have an enemy. And you think the enemies are the brothers. Gravely and grossly mistaken. Right? We are fighting a different battle. Yeah. We are fighting a different battle. You cannot use whatever your fighting skill to fight against flesh and blood. You're fighting against principalities and powers. That's Ephesians chapter 6. And they're giants. Those giants shows that the enemy is more powerful than you. Are you going to fight against somebody who is twice your size? You're a strong brother. All full of muscles. Look at that. But suppose your enemy is 2.5 size more than you. What are you going to do? And he is also invisible. What are you going to do? And you're outnumbered. That's why they quit. But there are two guys, two men, who have an excellent spirit, which is Joshua and Caleb. You need to have an excellent spirit.
Amen.
Not a spirit of cowardice. Don't be a coward when fighting a spiritual battle. Yeah. Right. This is, we can do it. Let's go in. These giants are bred for us. Oh, well, they have different views. How big is the bread, a piece of bread? How big? Have you ever seen a loaf of bread twice your size? At most this big. Right? And maybe this big. Are you afraid of the size of a bread like that? For Caleb and Joshua, they are bread for us. Let's eat them up. So what happened is the old generation passed away. The Lord promised the young and new generation will enter into the good land. You believe in God's word? Right. So, they did enter later on. This young and new generation, they entered. How? They fought their way in. Without a strong inner man and a strong spirit, you cannot gain this inheritance because there is an enemy there to stop you. Just like the earthly Israel today, how are they going to survive if they're not strong to fight?
So
the young generation needs to be courageous. Paul mentioned about preaching the gospel in boldness. He used the word boldness. Pray for me, he said, that with boldness, opening of my mouth, I will make known the mystery of God. But you have to do it with boldness. Don't be afraid. The truth is the truth. And if God is for us, who is against us? Who can be against us? That's why Paul was so bold. Amen. You need a backing from above. Amen. Not a backing from some elders. Right. You need the backing from the living God. Remember the end of Romans 8. And who can separate us from the love of Christ? We are more than conquerors,
Amen.
He said.
Amen.
Yeah. So this is a way to possess the good land. That's why you can really see, right? The stiff-necked people, they don't want to do it. Even Moses, at the end, he got tired of these people and says, forget it. And because of them, Moses couldn't get in. But Joshua get in. Praise the Lord for Joshua. So in the Bible, Christ is our real Moses. That's very clear in Hebrews, and Christ is also our real Joshua. Because Joshua in Hebrews is Joshua, in Greek is Jesus. It's the same name. Christ, or God. God is our Savior. God is our salvation. Wonderful. So, how did Joshua bring God's people into the good land? Well, as a people, just like a tourist, a tourist group? No, he brought the people into the good land, not as a tourist group, but as an army. So the people of God are moving as an army. We should move as an army, and Christ is our captain. He's the captain of our salvation. He's not just the Savior. He's the captain. What is the captain for? Do you need a captain for salvation? Yeah, you need a Savior for salvation. What about a captain? What is he for? He's in the army. He's our captain to fight the battle through. And God commanded them to destroy the enemies. This is a way to inherit. Don't think just like you inherit whatever from your rich father, you don't have to do anything. You can just be lying down in your bed and inherit and just fall on your laps. You think God is going to give you such an inheritance? That's not the way. No, that's why you need to read Moses. Why, in the book of Numbers, they move as an army in the wilderness, camping in all four directions, with a tabernacle in the middle. And they move as an army here. So today, the church life is just enjoyment? Of course there is enjoyment. No doubt about that. But what about God's plan and purpose? What about the spiritual battle?
You think an army is what? A tourist army? I don't know what kind of an army. You think the Lord doesn't need an army? In Revelation chapter 19, when he came back by himself?
Came with the armies of heaven.
I thought he's a lone ranger. You know the lone ranger, right? Oh, you're not born here in America. The lone ranger is. Well, even at least the lone ranger has Tonto, right?
Right.
But the Lord has an army riding on white horses with him, coming to fight the battle of Armageddon. Now let me ask you, does the Lord have an army today? Or just some believers who just come once a week to the meeting, 1 hour, and go home? Are you in the army? I think there's a children's song that says, I'm in the Lord's army. I'm in the Lord's army. Right? Have you sang that song?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Now, is that just a children's song?
It better not be.
It shouldn't be a children's song. It should be the adult song.
Yes.
But, you know, people like to make it into a children's song. The Lord has an army of children. You cannot gain your inheritance without a battle. I've been serving for over 40 some years now. Never stop fighting. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? You see, to talk about inheritance without Numbers and Deuteronomy, without a book of Moses and without Judges, and to show us how they gained the good land and how they cast out the enemies and chase them out and destroy the enemies. Without doing that, how are you going to gain your inheritance? You're just making believe. Daydreaming. Yeah. Maybe you think I'm too much to say this. No. That's why I've been telling people many times, doctrine doesn't work. You think you know in your head and you already got it. Have you got a Porsche? Oh yeah, I'm dreaming about it every day. I got a Porsche. Oh, especially when I'm sleeping, I'm driving a Porsche. No, I have a Porsche. You don't believe me? Make believe. They just make believe. A lot of Christians are daydreaming. May the Lord help us to get into the good land, to claim our inheritance. Then you can really see, even when you gain that inheritance, and you might lose it. The Old Testament tells us the people of Israel have lost their land because they were not faithful. Don't think once you gain it, you won't lose it. Even Philadelphia, the Lord warned them, hold fast what you have, that no man can steal your crown.
That means it can be stolen. You can lose it. You cannot lose your salvation, but you can lose your reward. You can lose your inheritance. Esau sold it, his birthright.
Don't think the story of Esau and Jacob does not apply to you today. Which book tells us it applies? Selling his birthright. Did not a Hebrew warn you? So, we all need to be sober. We all need to wake up. Don't just listen and go home and say, no, I know in the head. It's all in the head. You know that saying in English? It's all in your head. Yeah? Have you ever heard this saying? No? If somebody says, oh, I'm a pain, this, oh, I got this, oh, I'm thinking about that, oh, it's all in your head. That means you're just imagining things. You talk about the spirit, but really, it's in your head. It's all in your head. It's very easy to have everything in the head. Right? So, may the Lord have mercy on us. We didn't go very far this morning. But how can we go far if we do not know how to even take our inheritance? Because we Christians are ignorant of, inheritance. God give it to you. Free, right? By grace, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But that's salvation. But the inheritance, you have to claim it. And then, with the inheritance, you have to mature to really know how to manage it. Suppose your father is Bill Gates, and give the whole Microsoft, but you are just 5 years old. In 5 days, the whole Microsoft will be micro-Microsoft. It will be micro and soft.
Yes.
It will be mightily soft.
Yes.
How can we manage God's inheritance given to us? If we don't have spiritual maturity,
exactly. No way.
You cannot even agree with the offerings to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about maturity. Right. Be sober. You have to realize what a wonderful responsibility to inherit. Galatians chapter 4, let's talk about this just briefly. I still have a couple of minutes. Oh, Father God, have mercy on us. Chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, not a grown son, a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is the master of all.
This concept does not have to be a very spiritual concept. Suppose you are the heir to the throne, but you're only 5 years old. Are you the king? Oh, yes! You're the crown prince. You're the king. But can you rule?
No.
Do you have authority?
No. Nobody's going to listen to you.
Yeah, you can command your servants. Give me some candies, please. Of course, you can give that command. Yeah, that's fine. You know, they will give it to you. But that's about all you can command. Sorry. Sorry. Right? So, a lot of responsibility. And those who have been going round about like a merry-go-round for 40 years, they remain babes, they were not mature. Just like the Corinthians. Babes in Christ. You cannot. And the worst thing is that you think you are already mature. Then you are hopeless. Right. So, may the Lord help us to realize that to be an heir is not just, oh, hallelujah, now I'm a son of God, I'm an heir. Yeah, but what kind of an heir are you? A potential heir. Maybe it already belongs to you, but you cannot manage anything. You are in no way different than a slave. And even a slave would be better off, because he'll be managing and you are just there playing. Right. Okay, let's have a break.
Okay.
Can I